40, back to the low 20s Monday morning, and a new surge of Arctic air arrives by Tuesday evening. Stay on top of these dramatic weather changes with our free weather app. It's going to be your best friend. Get it on your phone today. Search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
These are headlines from the Montgomery Advertiser Newsroom. I'm Wendell Jay. Alabama hospitals being overwhelmed with flu cases. Baptist here in Montgomery says they've reached maximum capacity. If you have the flu, hospitals are asking you to go to a clinic, not the ER at this time. The 28 flu season expected to be one of the worst on record. Flu cases have been reported in 46 states, and there are some shortages of some flu medications due to demand. Mayor Todd Strange has a call to action for the community. He wants you to get involved and encourages new faces to run for the five spots on the county school board. The mayor also announced the launch of EducateMGM.com, a website that will educate the public on the upcoming election. Fingers crossed. And Montgomery police have charged Claude Keith Foster, age 27, with rape. The charges are in connection with an incident from last November. He's accused of raping a female acquaintance. He was also wanted on domestic violence charges. That's a look at your headlines. I'm Wendell J.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Brewmaker Motors, it's winter. Oh, the weather outside may be frightful, but the deals inside here are delightful. Besides, it will be soon very warm. Amelia Earhart said, "The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is mere tenacity." So be tenacious this month and come on down to Brewmaker Motors for a luxury infinity, the QX30 subcompact SUV, or its opposite, the QX80. Big enough to carry just about anything you want to carry or pull in style. Our Prattville and Montgomery Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram stores, along with Fiat in Montgomery, trucks, 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 Jeeps, 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 lots of Pacifica minivans, Dodge Chargers, and Challengers, all at the right price. Or Kia, the value proposition, and the 2 years in a row J.D. Power's initial quality renter. Now with the 365-horsepower Stinger sedan, arriving now in our showroom. The fantastic SUVs, the Sorento with the third-row seating, and the compact Sportage SUV, or the value price Forte sedan. All this and great service and parts only at Brubaker Motors.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The House votes to renew part of a law that allows surveillance on foreign targets without a warrant.
The Trump administration says it is paving the way for states to force people to work for their Medicaid payments.
Walmart joins the list of companies paying workers bonuses after getting a big tax cut. They'll each get $1,000. Also raising its starting salary to $11 an hour.
A year after President Trump boasted about saving jobs at a Carrier plant in Indianapolis, 215 workers are being let go.
The mud is covering homes, cars, and highways in Southern California.
The plan is Highway 101 will reopen on Monday. There is a lot of work needed to make that happen. Still, the water is maybe 6 feet high in places on the freeway.
The slots for TV ads during the Super Bowl are now sold out, and NBC says on average, advertisers are paying more than $5 million for 30 seconds of airtime.
Missouri Governor Republican Eric Greitens and his wife putting out a statement saying there was a time when he was unfaithful in our marriage.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is now a citizen of Ecuador.
Middle-aged women can shave years off their looks by doing just a few months of facial exercises. Dermatologists who didn't know them were shown before and after pictures and pegged each at about 3 years younger.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Friday. 272-9228, that's where we are. Dick Brubaker, Paul Beckman in the House. Legislative Roundtable.
Is that swallowed? Can I tell you what the worst bill that's been introduced to my committee is so far?
What?
They want, one of the senators has put in a bill saying that no township of less than 25,000 people can have their own school system now.
What?
Yep. Yeah, in other words, they're trying to make sure that there are no more Pike Roads or Hoovers or Vestavias, that if you're stuck in a bad county system, by gosh, we're going to make sure you stay stuck there.
So that bill, I assume, is sponsored by an AEA person.
Yes, by a Democrat, by Senator Coleman. Now, unfortunately, it's in my committee, and I think that bill is going to have a hard time getting a a reading, but it, I mean, just the mentality of it is, I mean, I know you can make an argument that all that duplication of administration is soaks up tax dollars and all of that, but most of these breakaways, while they may not have all been spectacularly successful, they've all been more successful than the county systems they left.
Absolutely. Look at Madison, city of Madison up in Huntsville area. That is the biggest success story going.
Well, and not only that, I mean, it's a long list. And when you talk about 25,000, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Prattville didn't have 25,000 permanent residents.
Amen.
Amen.
So you're talking about some pretty large municipalities that you're saying, you know, even if you want to fund your schools at a higher level than the rest of the county, even if you want to do things to improve your own local public schools, the state is going to stop you. I mean, that's just... Really? I just don't understand it.
Get out of the way, as they would say. Nate has got a comment for you two gentlemen. Nate, welcome aboard the DMR show. You're on with Paul Beckman and Senator Dick Brubaker.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
Excellent. And you?
I'm well. Hey, it's interesting you brought that up, Congressman, because it's just another example of the corruption of our legislators. And my question was, is the reason why we're not having progressive marijuana laws come through because the people don't want it, or because the people do want it and the legislature is not pursuing it? Because, I mean, honestly, I think that there should be some sort of referendum to see if the people want it. If the people don't want it, if Alabama wants to stay where it is, heck, we can't even get a lotto in Alabama. We think we're going to be able to get marijuana deregulation.
Well, now, so if there's like on the trafficking issue we talked about earlier, you know, the Senate actually passed a law that reformed that. Now, it got caught in that logjam of bills right at the end, and the House didn't pass it. But, I mean, there is some sentiment in the legislature to change some of these laws.
But my real question is, do the people want it?
Well, in my district, most people want to see trafficking laws brought in to at least
compliance,
some harmony
with
the other states around us. But when it comes to decriminalization, my general impression is that while people don't want to see young kids hung with felonies for under an ounce of marijuana, at the same time, they're uncomfortable with decriminalization. I mean, that is my impression, if you want to know what...
Okay.
And that's just District 25. I can't speak for anybody else.
I just thought it was an interesting... because I know that it seems like, from an outsider's perspective, that Alabama kind of wants to stay small, wants to stay... doesn't want to mimic everything that everybody else is doing. And I didn't know if that was a legislature thing or if that was generally the attitude of people of Alabama who want to stay more down home, if you will.
Well, I think it's both. I mean, but I'll tell you this. You know, the legislators that I've talked to from places like, say, Colorado, you know, I'm telling you, a lot of those guys wish they had a do-over. Because while they are definitely raked in some money, they've raked in a heck of a lot of problems they didn't expect. Because they took this grow-your-own approach. And I've had so many people tell me if we could do it over again, when we started all this with liberalization of marijuana laws, if we had stayed away from the grow-your-own approach, we'd have been fine. But because we didn't, we have created a gigantic mess.
I think a point that needs to be brought out here is that a lot of people, when we get into this type of issue, whether it's gaming or whether it's into the marijuana, we're in the heart of the Bible Belt. And, you know, they had a statistic on today, one of the articles I was reading about over gay marriages, I think we are like at 48-49% of the people in Alabama actually go to church. We're one of the highest in the country, and next to Mississippi at 47. So that tells you a lot about as far as whether the people are going to agree with that mentality or not, because they're going to follow as far as the teachings are concerned. So I think when you say we're going to put that to the people as far as vote, as far as the marijuana, it ain't going to pass.
Yeah, well, also, we're a republic. We're not a democracy where
right.
the three wolves and two sheep are deciding what's going to be for dinner tonight. Nate, thanks for the telephone call. Appreciate you. Let me go to Jess with a question. Jess, question.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you so much for providing your time to us here in the public. My question is I understand that there's opposing this bill for 25,000 people population. I always say when it comes to politicians, follow the money. How much money does the state stand to lose if they are not able to do this? And is this the sole purpose of them maintaining taxation on the school district themselves? I want to hang up and listen to your response.
Who was it?
None.
Yeah, zero.
State, as far as the state losing money, the state won't lose a penny.
County will lose.
The county, let's put it this way. We fund school systems, whether they're city or county, I'm talking about from the state level, based on average daily membership. Hmm. So, yes, as county systems lose students, they're going to lose, depending on how the foundation program works out that year, let's say they're going to lose $4,500 worth of state money per student that goes to another public school system, because school systems are funded on an average daily attendance. And Montgomery's losing state money every year because the number of students is declining.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's that much revenue that's following that student to whatever public system they're enrolling in.
Or if they're enrolled in the street system, as they would say. The population of Madison, Alabama, in 2016 was 47,958. In 2006, it was 23,000. So Madison would not have been able to have a school system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Madison. Not under this bill, which is crazy. I mean, it's just wrong.
Yeah, really, because Madison is one of the great success stories of growth and everything else that's out there. Let me go back to the prison system. So you don't think that there's going to be any type of movement in, both of you don't think any type of movement in DOC, any type of that Cam Ward is going to be coming up with some money through this alleged savings from juveniles and delinquents and things like that?
Well, I hope he does. But if you're asking me, let's put it this way. I think whatever is done will be done in the structure of the laws as they exist now. If the savings are there and there's more money to hire, all of those, that so-called reform we did, we created these Class D felonies.
Yeah.
The whole idea was it would free up a bunch of money to hire all these probation officers. If you've got the probation officers, you can make the program work. If you don't, you can't. Now, if the money's there, I believe we'll hire the officers. But the question is the money there? I mean, we were told we'd save all this money when we combined law enforcement with ALEA. Well, nobody's seen any savings there yet.
Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Let me just add a little that, too. The Alabama Department of Corrections now is asking for a $30 million supplement to its current budget to increase it of $50 million for the year 2019 in order to improve medical and mental health service for inmates and comply with pending federal court order. So
you think they'll get that?
I don't know. It's like Dick said, is whether the money's there, whether we can get it, but we have to do something with the mental health.
Let's talk about Medicaid. This is one of the few years that I've watched Medicaid train go down the track, and it didn't scare me. What's the difference? Why are we not jumping up like we have been in the last five sessions?
It's decreased.
I know. So, but why?
More people are working. I think unemployment rate is up at 3.5. That's what was the first thing that jumped out at me.
That makes sense.
I think that's a big part of it. And, by most measures, I mean, we're running the leanest Medicaid program in the country. And as more people work, I mean, you would expect there to be some savings. And I don't think the legislature can really take credit for it. I think it's mainly just due to the the changes in the economy, because the legislative, like, you know, we tried the RCOs and all of that, and none of that really panned out. So I think you've got to chalk it up to more people getting back into the workplace, because I can't think of any other explanation. It's certainly nothing the legislature's done.
Well, I might disagree a little with that, because in 2010, when we came in, when the unemployment rate was high, the idea was, and we created all these vehicles as far as to bring businesses in. I mean, every time I've turned around, and yesterday the big announcement on the Toyota Mazda there.
Man, that was huge.
That's huge. I mean, and
that is huge.
And some of the gun arms.
Kimber Arms Company
down in Troy, and all these Hyundai expanding. I mean, these things are creating multipliers, and these things are creating suppliers, tier one and tier two groups, and so. The question that I ask is, now with 3.5, do we have enough people in Alabama that are going to basically be able to still, you know, we're going to find it to do these companies? And that's what concerns me now. But I
move them in, baby. Move them in to Alabama.
But I'm seeing what I think is a common factor is that the economics is picking up based on some of these things. It's a domino effect. It's not an instant gratification overnight. It's been something that was started in 2010 with some of these ideas, and I think some of the roosters now are starting to come home.
Let me ask a question that I think has vastly changed from the time that I was in the governor's office. When ADO is putting together a package, do they go to the legislature and are getting your commitment financially, or is there already money that is earmarked for that ADO taps?
The answer is both. In some cases, there's already money, because we have set aside these economic development bonds, and they know how much money they've got in their own kitty before they start negotiating. And if they come to a point where
they're going to need more. So is that a revolving bond?
Yes.
Okay.
But if they're going to need more than that, then they come to the House and to the Senate, usually the House first, and see if they can get more. But when they start negotiating, they know at least what they're capable of doing on their own. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Just so that was a curious, because it was similar back during the day, but you had a pot of money, but it wasn't that large of a pot of money. I was kind of shocked when I looked at the numbers of the Toyota Mazda thing of $4.5 billion.
The other thing that jumps out at me is you're having more partnerships with local government,
right.
Community, county, and businesses. So there's more of a partnership that's going in rather than just going to your state.
Well, even across state lines. I mean, you know, there was a good bit of money from Tennessee that came in on this Toyota Mazda deal, and on the Kia plant, you know, there are Alabama communities that on the state line there that provided part of the incentive, because they knew so many people across the Alabama state line would be employed at the Kia plant, even though it's actually in Georgia.
Yep.
And so it's a multi-state sort of arrangement.
They went as high as up into Franklin, Tennessee, I saw when I read the report on it. What are the biggest sticking points to you in this budget? What are the things we need to watch out for that could be a problem?
I'll start off with what bothers me is what could be happening is chips. What are we going to do about chips as far as that is? What is the federal government going to do? Are we going to be able to, is the people of Alabama going to ask us to come back in there and fund it in some way if it doesn't pass in on the federal level?
I had Bradley Byrne, and I also talked off mic to Mo Brooks, and they both said chips will be approved by January the 19th.
I tend to agree with that, but also the state, if it's not approved, or at least not approved at the same level, we need to look at the requirements for participating in CHIPS. Because it is, let's put it this way, it's not just single working mothers whose kids are getting those benefits. I mean, there are families making a lot more money than the average person thinks whose kids are eligible for CHIPS. And I think I agree with Dan. From everything I've heard from people in Congress, the CHIPS money is going to be there, and we're not going to have this problem. But if we do, I think two things will happen. I think the state will come up with some more money, but I also think we'll change kind of where the bar is as to where whether people's kids are eligible for CHIPS.
Anyways, I think you guys will have an answer to that fairly quickly.
I sure hope so.
It's like any other entitlement, though. I mean, once it's there, it's mighty hard to get rid of it.
Well, it's not the piece of the equation that they have the problem with. It's one of the factors that's in it. They need to get rid of the other factors is what the problem is.
Now, I have heard that there was some discussion, believe it or not, that they may come out in March just to see how the water is in reference to a gas tax.
I was just about to ask you about the gas tax. Tell me where you guys are on that, because I also understand a lot of the municipalities and the counties have been kind of getting together saying, we need this for infrastructure, quote, which will be a big topic in the next couple of weeks. Do you think there is a possibility of a big gas tax?
I don't think it's going to come this session, but I think there's going to be some more discussion. But they're going to test the water. If it's there, if it's structured in such a way that it doesn't get individuals upset as far as the politicians, since it's an election year, it's feasible. But I just, right now, on a practical standpoint, I don't see it happening. In fact, I look at the gas today and was driving around. I said, man, it's going up. Every time I turn around, it was at 207. Now it's at 227.
I'm not voting for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, things are completely different. I forgot. Everything's completely different during an election year.
That's right.
Well, not only that, though, you've got, there's more to that gas tax than meets the eye. I mean, originally, it was going to be an infrastructure bill, and they had all these specific problems that we were going to fix. Well, then, by the time the bill gets worked through the legislative process, it's no longer, look, when it comes to funding roads and bridges, gas tax is one of my favorites because it's efficient. The more you drive, the more you use the roads, the more you pay. And that's fair. If you don't own a car and don't use the roads at all, you don't buy any gas, you don't pay anything. I mean, it's fair. But by the time it works its way through the legislative process, it wouldn't have been recognizable to its closest friend. There were so many people with their hands in that pile of money.
Well, and also,
and if we're not going to use it to fund roads and bridges, I'm not for the gas tax anymore.
Well, if you do the gas tax and you're tying it to a bond so you can get it done now, the problem is you run into, as you and I have discussed, Dick, you run into a problem 10 years from now as cars get more and more efficient.
Right.
Well, you're already there. I mean, this plant that they're building in North Alabama is for electric vehicles.
Right.
And if they're going to invest $4 billion to build electric vehicles, that ought to tell you something about the future of fossil fuel consumption in the United States.
Now, is it pure electric? I thought it was a hybrid.
Well, a hybrid electric means you're going from an average cafe rule of a cafe average of about 28.6 miles to gallon to something closer to 65.
That'll change
things.
So
you're doubling the efficiency, so you're selling half the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're going to have to figure out how you're going to pay for your roads, yeah.
Well particularly the bond issue that you did 10 years ago.
Right.
Well, and also, by the time you get every municipality and every county and every sheriff's department, I mean, everybody had their hand in that pie on that last one. And it's just, I'm just not voting for something like that.
Nick, let me ask you a car question.
Okay.
Do you have any 2017s left that you want to get rid of?
I got a few. And I got trucks. You can come in here and get $12,000 off. Just two brand new 2017, nicely equipped, 1,500 trucks. Come down here and get one. Some of them we might even do a little better than 12 off.
Joey just left the income, so he's headed your way. $12,000 off of a truck?
Yeah, that's a lot of money. I mean, we got brand new Kia Fortes for under $13,000. I mean, you know, we got 0% financing. We got whatever you want, believe me. It is time to get these 2017s out of here. No reasonable offer refused. But especially on 1,500 full-size trucks, I mean,
that's a beautiful truck.
$12,000 off is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. What do you think about Fiat Chrysler coming out of Mexico back into the United States? And people years ago said that is never going to happen. They'll never come back.
Well, I think that I think it just proves Trump right. If you incentivize companies to stay in instead of incentivize them to leave, they'll stay or come back. And I think that's what you're seeing. I just think that a lot of the things that the president is doing is beginning to work. And I think you're going to see, you know, all the automotive projects in Alabama have all been foreign companies coming to Alabama to build product. What doesn't get nearly as much news is the number of domestic factories that have come back into the United States. Now, most of them have opened in the Midwest, not in the South. But they're still automotive manufacturing returning to the United States. That's a great thing.
Why do you think they picked the Midwest versus the South?
Because I think that Chrysler, Ford, and GM have a lot. Let's put it this way. They have more deals with the union, the UAW, than we do.
Okay.
And I think that's where their labor force is. And mm-hmm. I think it's all... And also, I will say that those Midwestern Rust Belt states, you talk about handing out the incentive money to get them back. They are, they made Ford a really sweet deal not long ago to reopen some production facilities, and I think that's part of it.
Are you feeling the difference of the economy? And, you know, Montgomery in Alabama is going to be a big beneficiary of this bonuses that companies are giving out. When you look at Regions, for example, Walmart, and what they did yesterday, are you feeling that, Dick, in your business?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you read Twitter and some of these lefties saying, oh, people getting an extra $1,000 a year doesn't matter. That's crazy. Yeah, it makes a huge difference. I mean, just in the amount of, just on the service side, people can afford to get their car serviced and repaired, and it's a down payment on a car.
That was what I was just about to say.
It makes a huge difference.
Well, and what Nancy Pelosi said to talk about crumbs, I mean, you look at Walmart going from $9 to $11 an hour, and then having $1,000 on top. That is 3 weeks' worth of pay. And the increase is somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 22% increase in your salary. 22%.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it might huge. Be a crumb to Nancy Pelosi's illegal nanny, but it's not a crumb to people that work at Walmart.
Absolutely. Dick, Paul, hang on for me. I need to go to a break. Newstalk 93.1 FM 272-9228. If you have a question, comment, viewpoint for Dick or Paul, they'll be glad to answer it. We'll be right back.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
Newstalk 93.1 FM.
To liberty in our time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Mr. Sandman.
Happy New Year. 2018 is bringing a lot of changes to the mattress industry, and Mr. Sandman must liquidate hundreds of fabulous mattresses from Serta, Beautyrest, Restonic, Jameson, and other factories to make room for new models. Because I actually stock hundreds of mattresses, when changes take place, Mr. Sandman has to wheel and deal to clear warehouse and floor space. We are also overstocked with adjustable bases, beds, and luxurious pillows. We still have a few sets left over from our fire sale for you serious bargain hunters. Our premium sets include Talalay latex, hybrids, and of course, numerous memory foam mattresses. We stock twins, fulls, queen, and king sets, and we'll sell odd box springs and mismatched sets. I will attend several shows in January to select my 2018 lineup, so I really need to liquidate much of my inventory fast. No interest financing and delivery are available. With around 90 models to choose from, amazing discount prices, and excellent customer service, it's a no-brainer to visit us in Montgomery or Millbrook for your mattress and headboard needs. Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores.
Accidents come in all sizes, from the little parking lot ding in your door, to the next-door neighbor's kid and his skateboard, to the full-blown uh-oh in traffic. Precision Body and Paint can handle all of your...
Precision Body and Paint has been repairing dings, scrapes, and crashes in the river region since 1986. They pride themselves on quality, affordable auto body repair. They fix your vehicle right the first time. Precision's technicians have years of experience, and their goal is 100% customer satisfaction. Remember, if you are in an accident, it's your choice which collision repair facility repairs your car. Insist on Precision Body and Paint. 4245 Atlanta Highway. Estimates are free, and Precision Body and Paint works with all insurance companies. They handle collision repair, auto glass and mirror repair, hail damage, or body trim repair. So, if you have a... or even a little door ding, call Precision Body and Paint at 277-2080. Like them on Facebook. Remember, Precision Body and Paint won't sleep until your car is perfect.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by proof pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. What is proof pricing? That's Jack Ingram's best price, simple and clear, with true price comparisons from third-party leaders. And when it comes to saving you money, there's nothing better than seeing the proof. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned mates starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 3 days to return it for a full refund. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars has hundreds of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your needs. And if by some small chance they don't have it, they will find it for you and deliver it to your driveway. Confidence and trust is a Jack Ingram Signature Used Car guarantee.
Come see me, Tip James, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
HGTV's Eric Stromer.
Hey, everybody, this is Eric Stromer, and I want you to make sure to listen to House Does with Dale. That's my boy down there in Alabama, and if you don't listen, I'm going to get real, real mad at y'all.
You never know who Dale will talk to unless you listen.
Make sure you tune in each and every week, or I'm going to come after all of you with a 2x4.
1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
House Studs with Bobby T and Dale Johnson, Saturday mornings at 10 on News Talk 93.1 WACV, the voice of Montgomery.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump today waiving sanctions against Iran tied to the International Nuclear Accord. In a statement, the president says this will be the last time such a waiver will be issued, and the White House will work to address Iran's nuclear development programs with its European partners to ensure the regime does not become capable of launching nuclear weapons. House Speaker Paul Ryan expressing disappointment in comments made by President Trump yesterday during immigration talks regarding Haiti and Africa.
First thing that came to my mind was very unfortunate, unhelpful.
The president tweeting he did talk tough, but denied using the crude language which has been widely reported. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin was at the meeting.
He said these hate-filled things, and he said them repeatedly.
The Haitian government condemning the president's comments. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Dramatic weather changes underway as the Arctic air funnels into the state. For tonight, mostly cloudy, cold. The overnight low temperature by morning, 28. Tomorrow, windy, cold, sunshine. High 41, but the winds will make it seem colder. Tomorrow night, clear skies, frigid. Overnight low temperature, 22 by dawn Sunday. Sunday's high barely up to about 40. Back to the low 20s on Monday morning, and a new surge of Arctic air arrives by Tuesday evening. Our weather app will be your best friend during this Arctic surge. Hourly forecast, 10-day forecast, current conditions, plus access to my videos and blog updates. Get it on your phone today. It's free in the App Store. Just search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. If you have a question, comment, viewpoint for Dick Brubaker or Paul Beckman. We're in the legislative session now, just started this week. Let me put both of you on the spot. What did you think of the governor's speech at the State of the State?
I thought it was a... you know, she started off with a football thing, and I thought it was a great pep rally speech. You know, I mean, we didn't get into really specifics in reference like we used to with Bentley would give you a whole shopping list of things. It was more like what we can do as human beings and what we can do as far as legislators and leadership.
Dick?
Well, I thought it was kind of a boilerplate speech. I mean, it she hit a lot of big topics and sort of gave a laundry list of the issues we're facing, but short on solutions. I mean, the only thing she got specific about was the lieutenant governor and the role she thinks that office should play. But other than that, I mean, it wasn't a bad speech. I just didn't think it gave a whole lot of guidance to the legislature, except we know from that speech that the governor's office will support pay raise for state employees and for school teachers. And we know that the governor's office will not support moving the lieutenant governor's office across the street.
Well, whoever wrote the speech for her did a very good job.
I thought it was a great speech. I just thought it was short on specifics, like Paul said. I mean, but it did sort of lay out what the issues are. But I think Kay knows as well as anybody else it's an election year. It's going to be a short session. And if there's any way to get out before spring break, the legislature's going to do it.
That would be good if you guys could. Let me, for both of you, but Dick, you in particular, Ed Richardson said some things about the Montgomery Public School System. Let me let you listen in.
Montgomery Public School System. Today, State Superintendent Ed Richardson said if the system were evaluated today, its accreditation would not be renewed. He promised major changes at MPS as part of the current state intervention. WSFA 12 News reporter Jennifer Horton has the new details.
There will be major changes, but I assure you that it is my intention that teachers in the classroom will not be affected. You cannot improve on academic deficiencies by releasing teachers.
Dr. Ed Richardson indicated a stopgap measure to shore up funds for MPS could include selling off land and vacant properties. The feasibility study, expected to be finished next week, will indicate whether schools should be consolidated.
You lose 700 students a year. You can't justify it. It costs you to keep those schools up, so that's one way you can gather some money.
Richardson's reason for making wholesale changes in short order, accreditation.
This is a big-time problem, and that we've got a lot of work to do before the team comes next year. Because if the team came this year, we would not be accredited.
And if you're not accredited, then everybody, including Magnet, does not graduate, well, or you can go to college.
And here's the thing. This is nothing that everybody hasn't known for years. I mean, we went 3 years without a budget. I mean, and that's one reason that the intervention happened when it did. And what is very disconcerting is hearing the chairman of the local board do not take responsibility for nothing and just criticize anyone who makes any suggestions, whether it's Mayor Strange or Ed Richardson. I mean, the local board at some point either needs to step aside completely, or they need to get behind the changes that Dr. Richardson is suggesting. I mean, the intervention law was written by a lesser-known Alabama statesman for this very type of event. And where the intervention law has been applied correctly, it's been successful. In places like Midfield, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. But in places like Midfield and even in Selma, which is about to be released from intervention because of the improvements they've made, they've had the support of the local board. I mean, the local board has said, yes, things aren't what they're supposed to be. Please come in and make all these unpopular choices that we're unwilling to do ourselves, but we're for you. In Montgomery, what you've got, you've got Dr. Porterfield fighting them every step of the way. And I just don't understand it. It's like they view the schools as a job corps, and their number one job is to protect everybody's job, not to improve learning in the classroom.
You know, they're so teacher-oriented versus student-oriented. And as you, the two of us have spoken for years, they've been way under the line of reserve budget. I'm shocked that it took this long to happen.
Well, for one reason, until reasonably recently, the law, we broadened the law a good bit 3 years ago to give the school board more leeway over when and how it intervenes. But the other thing is this. The grown-ups, at some point, have to take responsibility. When we had the... Everybody remembers the grade-fixing scandal. You know how many people were held responsible for that?
Zero.
Nobody. You know how many people, when the interveners came in and found out that they were schools with... you know, there were 75, at least 75 instances of teachers that weren't even coming to work half the day. I mean, can you imagine? What does that mean to a student's learning when he has a substitute half of the year? And he had all this excessive absenteeism. You know how many principals and teachers lost their jobs because of that?
Let me guess.
Nobody.
Nobody, yep.
And the thing is, any local superintendent, any local board, any principal worth the name, I mean, at the very least, you need to make your people come to work. And if they're so sick that they can only come half the year, what you do is you help them, you hand them a big piece of stack of papers that say, this is how you get on disability. And you get them off your payroll and hire somebody who will show up. But even the most basic functions are not being carried out, and the grown-ups at MPS, principals, central office, and board members just refuse to hold anybody accountable for anything. They just blame everybody else.
Amen to that. Let me go to the phones and go to Barbara. Barbara has a comment. Barbara, you're on board with Duke Brubaker and Paul Beckman.
First of all, I'd like to thank Representative Beckman and Senator Brubaker for coming and for you allowing them. And second of all, I want to say, Senator Brubaker, my heart breaks because you're not running for re-election. You're not in my district. My senator is Clyde Chambliss, and you and him are my big heroes. And like I said, I hate to see you leave because I feel like you're very conservative and very honest, and our legislators are beginning to be very corrupt, it seems like.
Well,
government, period.
There's
school,
no
legislators,
graveyards of
what have you.
Indispensable people.
It's just sad that the circumstances at the legislature are so bad that, you know, you get tired of fighting after a while.
Well,
so
it's not that.
Barbara is trying to respond to you.
You know, the one thing that we need to make government better in Alabama is we need legislators not to stay so long, even the ones we like. I've served 3 terms in the legislature, and that's long enough. And it's time for someone, you know, with a fresher take on things, to come in and have their shot. And I wish more of my colleagues, I think Paul's doing the right thing. I mean, he's moving on to something else. He served honorably in the legislature. He served 2 terms, but now he's going to go, you know, into a different field of endeavor and let somebody else have a crack at representing his county in the House of Representatives. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we just need more legislators to do that.
Well,
you're not supposed to have
professional
politics. I totally
agree with you if we can just find the quality.
You
like
can find
them.
They're out there.
And I know they're out there, but are they willing to go through what they have to get there?
Well, that's what we need to work on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
y'all,
and appreciate the show, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Let me go to the Robert for a comment. Robert, welcome aboard.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
About the school board, how many years have they been dealing with this problem?
You're talking about the local school board in Montgomery County?
Yep.
What, 25?
Yeah, really?
Yeah. At what point do we take a look at the problem and deal with it? Specifically, we have a school board chock full of individuals who are out to cover their political butt, specifically their own little seats in those chairs. They are not fixing the problem. They are the problem. And quite frankly, somebody made a comment the other day on the radio. I'm not sure which show, but they was looking to see if they could rouse up a bunch of people, anybody, to replace those idiots.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem right there. I mean, you've got to have people who are willing to step in, but at the same time, to be completely fair, you know, these problems weren't created yesterday, and a lot of these school board members are dealing with problems that, well, let me tell you what part of the problem is. This is not a popular thing to say on this show. You know, we're funding public schools at the absolute legal minimum. And
agreed.
It's hard to find, if you look at where the high-performing public schools are, they have two things that we don't have. One is they have good leadership that's holding their employees responsible.
I would submit competent leadership.
The other thing they have is more local support for their schools.
Well, we are desperately in need of both.
Right.
But,
amen.
But, you know, I absolutely agree with you on that. But until we get rid of the current Joe Reed clone, we're going to, these problems that, granted, may not have been created on their watch, but they sure as hell have not been solved on their watch. And without something drastic, such as replacing a couple of these individuals, the next constituted board is going to have the exact same problem.
Well, and one of the things that's supposed to happen in the intervention is Ed Richardson has the authority to completely set that board aside. And from his comments that he made, which were very strident, I mean, he didn't pull any punches. I think that if progress isn't made soon, I think he will tell that board to get out of the building and they will move ahead without them, which he has the authority to do under the
I will be down at that building with palm leaves in my hand. Hosanna!
I'll be right next to you doing backflips and giving my knees. That would be saying something.
Okay, guys.
Well, we're all meeting down there. I know
Bye-bye.
He has that authority because I wrote the bill. And he has the authority to set that board aside.
I did not know that. That's interesting news. By the way,
he can't throw them out of office, but he can take over all functions of government, okay, of the board, all of them.
Because I thought it was a state requirement that you had to have a board if you were receiving
state
money.
Well, the board will just sit there, but he has the authority to take over all operations, hiring, firing, curriculum, everything, which leaves the board with nothing to do.
By the way, on the least funded school system in America is Utah. It's 6,555. They're also rated number 6 in the nation.
Wow.
Well, I'm talking about Alabama. And, yes, I understand. I mean, but they have a slightly different situation than we do in Alabama. But
we won't go there.
Well, those Mormons are just very smart.
Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Good afternoon, Dan and guests. I just want to thank you two legislators for the conservative passing of bills and the way you've looked at government for our state. Paul, I want to admire you for term limits. You said you would serve 2 terms and now you're on to something else. And you've both just been a pleasure to have in our legislature. I hope we can find 2 like you when we all have to replace you.
Well, we need to find some people in District 25. So far, there are only 2 people who've stepped forward, and I was hoping that they would be more interested in a race than that.
Yeah, and thank you, Debbie, for the kind words.
You're welcome. I thank you both and wish you both the best.
Let me go to a break. Dan Morris Show, we're going to be back.
Thanks.
Final segment right after this.
Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
There's a road I'd like to tell you about. Lives in my hometown. Lakeshore Drive, the road is called.
call and it'll take you up or down. From rats all up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way, help you ride on by. And the blue lights shining with a heavenly grace, help you ride on by.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, anyone to get your questions, comments, and viewpoints in. Last segment, boys and girls. We won't see these gentlemen for another 2 weeks after this. Remind me, when is spring break? No? Do you know?
No, I don't know. No. Okay. I've got
but you're always trying to finish before spring break.
It's usually the last week of March.
Okay. We're going to do a drawing for the Sweet Creek Farm Market from our good buddy Reed Ingram. Let's do that real quick.
And since we're short on time, I'll dispatch with the fanfare and say the winner is Chris. Chris, you're the winner. You have to give me the correct birthday.
Chris, call me and I'll hook you up at 272-9228. We'll get that taken care of for you for this weekend. Guys, what should we be looking for next week?
Well, in the house, we're having veterans celebrations. We have that seems to be the agenda that we have taken over, that we're going to be having the Medal of Honor winners from Alabama in.
Oh, wow.
We're going to be having, as far as veterans that have served our country, we are going to have special bills and resolutions passed for them. And so we have a whole agenda that's laid out in reference to that's going to be coming up as far as our country is concerned, and some of the things that we want to do as far as tax credits for the military and people trying to get back into the workforce, and various things for the parks that they can use.
Dick, how about you on the Senate side? What's coming
up next
week?
Well, the budget bills are already going to be up in committee. So they're beginning discussion. So they're moving pretty fast in the Senate on the money side. There's a huge unearmarking bill. It's Senate Bill 131. And I'll be frank with you, I've got a lot of problems about the way it's written, even though I think the author's heart's in the right place. But you need to check that one out, SB 131. I think you're going to hear a lot about that one.
Who's carrying the bill?
Tripman.
Okay.
Pitt Tripman, yeah.
SB 131.
Yeah, it's Tripp's bill.
Okay. What is there going to be another medical marijuana? Somebody seems to think that that's going to happen.
I keep hearing that, but I certainly haven't seen a bill.
I haven't been hanging around Mike Ball over there that much, because if he's going to introduce it or something to do with it, he seems to be always the guy that has something to do with it.
Well, has UAB changed their mind of their concern about dealing with the issue?
Not that I'm aware of.
Speaking just for the Senate, if we could do a medical marijuana bill where we source the marijuana from the federal marijuana program, and treated it just like any other drug, except that we hand it out through county health departments, we could pass a real medical marijuana bill tomorrow. But that's not going to happen because the so-called medical marijuana advocates,
if they can't grow their own,
they don't want the bill.
Okay. So, but you have heard rumors about the rumbles of that also.
Only that a bill is out there, but I don't think there really is, because surely whoever the author is would be showing copies to at least some people if they were going to make any serious push for it. And so I just don't think they're very serious.
Okay, where are both of you on the replacement for the lieutenant governor if they were to ascend to the governor's office? Are you status quo where we are now?
I'm status quo.
No, I think that moving making the lieutenant governor part of the executive branch is probably the way to go. Because in the Senate, having a separating the lieutenant governor from the pro tem is just theater. You know, Dan, you've been down there long enough to know how that works. I mean, the pro tem, all the power of assigning bills and controlling debate, all that flows from the pro tem anyway. It has ever since they stripped that office when, was it Wyndham?
Yep.
Got elected.
Right.
And if that's the way it's going to be, they might as well just make it part of the executive branch, let the lieutenant governor help the governor on economic development projects and go all over the world and make speeches and be there to succeed if that happens.
Let me ask both of you a political question. When you look at this race, and Dick, your body has got, percentage-wise, a very large number of new senators that are going to be sitting in chairs.
Half, almost.
You have a lot, but not nearly as much as the Senate. Let me start with you, Dick. Will the Senate be more conservative, the same, or less conservative?
Much less. And I'll tell you why I say that.
Please.
It's because when you run out people that are actually running business, which is what they're doing. And Sanford, it's not just us. I can give you a whole laundry list. You're running out people the people that are being run out tend to be younger, they tend to still have kids in school, and they tend to be running businesses. That's who you're chasing out of the legislature.
So Sanford says you're probably with this barbecue place?
Yes. And I'll explain it to you later if you want to. I mean, it'd be kind of boring radio, but I'll tell you what happened.
Let me, because I'm running out of time.
It's going to be less conservative and more responsive to special interests.
More responsive to special interests, because we're going to have a massive change as far as in the House, the way I see it. As much as 30 people, and it's going to affect as far as, and when you start having that, a lot of people are green. And you're going to have a...
That's the saddest news I've heard from you two in a long time.
It took me 4 years, first 4 years to learn that, too. I mean...
It took me 4 years to learn how to speak Beckman.
Dick, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Paul, thank you so very much. See you in two weeks, my friend.
Bye.
Joey, thanks for a great show, guys. Be good, be safe, be back Monday at 12 o'clock. Grab your dough, the great...